Welcome to another episode of Sitrep Israel, an automated daily situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This SITPF was generated on Monday, the 27th of April 2026 at 15:25 Israel time, 12:25 UTC. IDF strikes Hezbollah sites in Bekaa Valley for first time in 3 weeks. The Israeli Air Force struck Hezbollah infrastructure in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley today, the first such operation in 3 weeks, marking a deliberate expansion of the air campaign beyond the immediate border area. Targets in southern Lebanon included the towns of Tibnain, Yatar, Kafra, Sadiqane, Bint Jebel, and the area between Jemejmeh and Majdal Selam. The IDF also conducted a demolition operation in Tebe. Yesterday, Israeli aircraft struck the Hezbollah headquarters of the Bint Jebel sector and other military structures, with secondary explosions indicating the presence of weapons storage. The target set across both days focused on infrastructure rather than leadership, and the three-week pause before today's Bekaa strikes suggests a message calibrated for Tehran as much as for Hezbollah. The ceasefire does not grant the group a sanctuary to reconstitute deeper inside Lebanon. Hezbollah Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qassem responded by publicly rejecting any negotiations with Israel, declaring that direct talks between Lebanese authorities and Israel are entirely irrelevant and of no concern whatsoever to the group. He vowed Hezbollah will not return to the pre-March 2 era and will continue its defensive resistance, framing the enemy as having reached a dead end. The rhetoric was performatively absolute, but defensively framed, justifying the group's continued armed posture rather than threatening a new offensive. A suspected Hezbollah drone launched from Lebanon triggered sirens in the Western Galilee this morning. The IDF lost contact with the target and it crashed without injuries. Yesterday, an explosive-laden drone targeting Golani Brigade troops in southern Lebanon was intercepted. Israeli media acknowledged Hezbollah drones as a principal and evolving threat. The drone activity fits a pattern of low signature, deniable probes that maintain the fiction of resistance without forcing Israel's hand. Lebanese President Joseph Aoun pushed back against accusations of betrayal over his decision to enter negotiations, stating that betrayal is committed by those who take their country to war in pursuit of external interests. He questioned whether those who went to war had national consensus and affirmed his goal is to end the state of war with Israel through an armistice-like agreement, not a humiliating one. The counter-accusation signals that the Lebanese state, for the first time in this cycle, is willing to treat Hezbollah's military autonomy as a domestic political liability rather than a national asset. Hezbollah now faces an operational dilemma. It must retaliate to preserve deterrence credibility, yet any retaliation that draws a disproportionate IDF response risks isolating it from a state now openly framing the group as a foreign proxy. On the ground in southern Lebanon, IDF soldiers dismantled over 50 terror infrastructure sites south of the forward defense line in recent days, including an underground compound and a weapon storage facility found inside a children's room in Adshid Al-Qusair. Yesterday, three operatives approaching IDF positions were struck and eliminated by the Israeli Air Force. The diplomatic track with Iran accelerated on multiple fronts. Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi arrived in Moscow for talks with Russian officials following the cancellation of a second US-Iran negotiating round and President Trump's cancellation of a planned envoy trip to Pakistan. Tehran is reportedly proposing a three-phase negotiation formula via mediators and a separate Iranian offer to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, end the war and postpone nuclear talks was conveyed to Washington. President Trump is scheduled to meet with his national security team to discuss the proposal. The economic pressure driving diplomacy is severe. Hormuz transits collapsed to 7 ships in 24 hours, a 95% drop below pre-war levels, and Brent crude spiked to $108.50 per barrel. The spot futures spread reached $7.66 per barrel, signaling severe supply scarcity. Prediction market odds of the Strait returning to normal traffic by the end of next month fell to 38%. The fertilizer squeeze caused by the closure threatens next year's global grain harvests. Germany and the United Kingdom warned the war is economically unsustainable. German opposition leader Merz said the US has no exit strategy, and UK Prime Minister Starmer convened a COBRA meeting on economic fallout. The UK's King Charles is heading to Washington to help mend frayed ties with the US. Inside Iran, Imam Khomeini International Airport resumed international flights after weeks of suspension due to US-Israeli attacks. The education minister announced that 346 students, teachers, and staff were killed during the 40-day US-Israeli attacks, including 279 students. The Sadabad Palace complex in Tehran, damaged in the bombing, was opened to journalists. Parliament Speaker Quali Baf warned the US has burned its oil options while Iran holds decisive strategic cards in the Strait of Hormuz. IRGC Quds Force Commander Kwani emphasized the strength and unity of the resistance front alongside Hezbollah. In Gaza, the IDF announced it demolished 14 kilometers of Hamas tunnels in the northern strip in recent months, located on the Israeli side of the ceasefire line, especially in the Beit Hanun area. Troops of the Gaza Division's Northern Brigade killed approximately 70 operatives who violated ceasefire terms and posed a threat to soldiers. Separately, the Global Samud Flotilla, carrying over 1,000 participants, humanitarian aid trucks and ambulances, departed Italy aiming to break the Israeli blockade and reach Gaza. Across the West Bank, Israeli settler militias attacked the Palestinian village of Jalud, with residents attempting to confront the assault. In Kalandia refugee camp north of Jerusalem, Israeli forces raided residential buildings, evacuated residents and converted properties into military outposts. The entrance to the town of Al-Ram was shut down by Israeli forces, stranding dozens of vehicles. In Nablus, Israeli forces assaulted and abducted a Palestinian miner during an offensive in the Old City. In Jerusalem's Eitur neighborhood, four suspects were arrested for throwing stones at residents' homes. On the multilateral front, Iran's customs chief reported favorable border cooperation with Azerbaijan, and President Pezeshkian congratulated South Africa on Freedom Day. That concludes today's Sitrep. For more Sitreps, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_Sitreps.